Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, today, I'm going to focus on two things. First of all, the Song of Simeon, because it's so important. And secondly, how it applies to us, which is our epistle lesson. Okay? Lord, now let us now thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared for me. Now stop and think. Who was Simeon? Simeon was the head and chief priest of the temple before the one who, Caiaphas, that was there at the time of Jesus' death. Okay, old man, and he came up because he had heard about Jesus. So here's this old high priest. The parents brought him to the temple. Why do parents take the baby to the temple? Because remember, they made a thing about that being the important day. Anybody know when that important day was? Good, let's not all speak at once. What happens is the baby had to live for 7 days before it was named, because so many babies died after birth. So after the seventh day, the eighth day after the birth, he was taken to the temple, which is what happened to Jesus. So we have that number seven. Again, what does seven mean in the Bible? Perfection. Okay? So Jesus was made perfect. So he goes and he's given to Simeon, the chief priest. It wasn't a flunky. It was the chief priest of the temple. Now we know how huge that temple was, right? This is just one kid from the outskirts. He's from Nazareth, right? Why did they take him to the temple? And why would it be the chief priest? See, there's so many things that tie into prophecy, especially when you get into Micah. Because Micah foretells the taking of the baby to the temple. So, in answer to prophecy, he was taken to the temple on the eighth day. And he meets Simeon, the head priest. A light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people, Israel. All right, now we know the Jews were expecting a Messiah, right? How did the Jews expect the Messiah to come? As a king. Leading an army, and they were going to put everybody else out and make the Jews on top again. Well, that's not the way it happened, was it? First of all, Jesus came not as a king with a retinue and silks and everything else. He came as this little humble baby, born in a manger, wrapped up in swaddling clothes, had critters around him, you know, and then he was greeted not by royalty, but by a bunch of shepherds who really were the bottom part of the class. All right, so does this sound like a king to you? Remember later on what Jesus told the high priest. My kingdom is not of this world. Do you think that's why the Jews have had trouble acknowledging him as the Messiah? We talked about this in Bible study. Remember, to be a prophet in the Jewish religion, there's one requirement, and what is that? You can never be wrong. All right, so is Jesus a prophet? Yes. So if he's the Messiah and he calls himself that, how can he be never wrong if they don't recognize it? That's all right, they don't get it either. Rabbi Krepsky, when we were singing in the choir at the synagogue, said, we have one of the biggest problems like that because we recognize him as a prophet. He's holy, but yet we can't buy the fact that he's the Messiah because we were expecting somebody else. And that is talked about in the book of Revelation, because What does the book of Revelation say about the Jews? Remember, they are going to come to Jesus on the last day. I find that interesting, don't you? So, if we got rid of the Jews, would that prophecy be able to work? No. So, are the Jews wrong for questioning? Now, the early church said they were, because they condemned them for killing Jesus. But yet, if Jesus hadn't died, we wouldn't have salvation, would we? It's those kind of conundrums, okay? In other words, you got here a way of behavior. Jesus had to die, but because the Jews caused it that way, they're going to condemn him, even though it's God's will. Can you see how sometimes things can get a little screwed up? We were talking earlier about high school, and the choir at Central has been around and has sung at the White House. I mean, it's a big thing if you make that choir. The song that is the anthem for the choir is called Salvation is Created by Chestnikov, okay? Russian Orthodox, okay? Salvation is created in the midst of the earth, alleluia. That's all it is. It's about the birth of Jesus. But yet, we have probably out of the 100 in the chorus, probably 30 to 40 were Jewish. So how can they sing that? Well, because the Messiah is central to their beliefs, whether they recognize him as Jesus yet or not, they still will talk about the birth of the Messiah in the midst of the earth. So whether you're a Jew or whether you're a Christian, we can come together on that, can't we? Go back in your bulletin now to the epistle lesson. All right, the letter from Paul to the Colossians. What are the Colossians? Yeah, I look. I'm seeing people look up. This kind of thing. There was a group of 10 cities in the ancient world called the Decapolis. What does deca mean in Greek? 10. Okay, Decapolis. Minneapolis. The city of. Okay. All right. So when we start looking at this, the Colossians were a city of them, a lot of Greeks. It was also more than half Jewish. All right, so Paul wrote this letter. Remember I told you that any of the books of the Bibles always have an audience that it's geared towards. In this case, it's geared not only to the Greeks, but to the Jews. And you got to remember, Paul is a Jew, right? He's a Christian, and at this time, Christianity is a Jewish sect. Because he's an answer to the prophecy in the Old Testament. All right, let's look at this in depth. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, beloved by God, and you're made holy because of this, compassionate hearts. Kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Okay, remember, because it already brought up when it was talking in the both the Psalm and the Old Testament about Pharaoh not letting the people go, right? In you, when you look at the story of Pharaoh, 11 times, because we had 10 plagues, but 11 times, it says, and he hardened his heart. But yet, Pharaoh asked Moses to pray for his people. Does Pharaoh give power to the Jewish God? Yes. But he can't bring himself to accept that message, can he? All right, so when I see this, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts. Did Pharaoh put on a compassionate heart? No. But it says here, look at verse 13 now. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. Paul knew that we are human beings, and therefore we argue, right? We disagree. But do you have to disagree in hatred, or can you disagree in love? Okay, that's hard for us to do sometimes, hard for me to do sometimes. But as the Lord has forgiven you, you also must forgive. Remember, I keep on talking about the cross. It's what we receive from God this way, and what comes out of us comes this way, right? So if we receive forgiveness, what has to flow out of our two arms? Forgiveness, right? If we stop that forgiveness, are we still forgiven? No. That's what Luther wrote about. If we ever stop compassion, we stop forgiveness, we lose our forgiveness, we lose our salvation. You got to forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. 1 Corinthians 13. And the greatest of these is love. Is it easy for us to love our fellow man? No. But for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared according to thy word. Now, remember, in John 1, the word is what? Jesus made flesh. So when he's talking about word in this case, who's he referring to? Jesus. And I read this in here, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And so what does Paul say next? And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Compassionate hearts, the peace of Christ takes over our hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. All right. Now, what is he saying here? Is he talking about we're called here, or are we called this way? We're called this way in one body. Now, if you were talking to a Jewish congregation, which is what he is, would they get it? Probably not. They'd have to chew on that one for a while. Because this whole idea of corporate love to one another, corporate love to those who are outside, is not part of the religion. So this is something that's really important. So when he's talking to us about it, do we get it too? Well, it's sort of tough, isn't it? But that's a message that is so good. Now, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. You know, I already talked to you today about Hagia Sophia in Constantinople. That was the huge cathedral of the Eastern Roman Empire. Hagia, holy in Greek. Sophia, what does Sophia mean? Wisdom. That's the church of holy wisdom. Who was holy wisdom? Jesus Christ. Admonishing one another in all wisdom. So admonishing one another through Jesus Christ. Be more like him. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God, and whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. May this peace that comes from the word of Christ keep our hearts and minds on the wisdom that Jesus brings us. Amen.